To federal politics now, and as the coalition turns its focus to immigration, polling shows support for the One Nation Party is rising. Joining me now is One Nation leader, Senator Pauline Hanson. Pauline Hanson, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you, Sally.
First up, do you welcome the coalition's decision to dump net zero by 2050?
Of course I do, but they haven't gone far enough. They should be getting out of the Paris Agreement because you can't have one without the other.
On the weekend, we heard from Foreign Minister Senator Penny Wong, and she said that the coalition is trying to, in her words, out-Pauline. What do you think?
Well, really, I'd like a bit more of a please explain to that one anyway. But, you know, One Nation, we've been setting the agenda for many years now to do with mass migration, to do with, you know, climate change, with The Voice. Everything that we've set in place, the coalition have followed our lead on this. So this is just another one. The coalition doesn't know where they are. They're not even in sync with their own counterparts in the states because the states are glued to net zero. So what is the federal going to do about it when the states don't follow their lead? They are in such disarray.
What do you think are the chances of the coalition being able to gather support from more voters, particularly on the right wing? Are you worried that you might lose some support?
Look, I think that the people realise now that I've been consistent with policies, and these things I will see through and will follow through with it if we're in a position to hold the balance power or opposition or eventually government in this country. The general public are fed up where the country is going. They say, we want our country back. They want the politicians to run the country, not, you know, elitists and not UN telling us how to run our country. So it's coming from the general public. They don't trust the major political parties anymore. That's why they're turning to One Nation.
But the major parties still have far more support than One Nation, don't they?
Well, you know, if you have a look at where the polling is showing now, and of course, it's only just polling, and it shows that One Nation is gathering more and more support because the clear-cut policies that we are putting out there, we've been consistent with what the Australian people want. It's not about what the elites want. It's not about UN what they want, these treaties and agreements that we've signed. It's about governing ourselves that's in the best interest for this country and future generations. And clearly they are not doing it. It's not about politicians sitting on the fence and just doing what's good for them to keep their jobs. It's about representing the people.
Is it simply this move away from the major parties? Is that simply reflecting dissatisfaction with the major parties as opposed to specific support for you? Because we've also seen support for independents and Teals on the other side of the electoral spectrum.
It's a bit of both. It is a bit of both, Sally, because in the last election you got about 35 to 40% of people who don't want to vote for the major political parties anymore. They are actually not turning to them anymore. They don't like their policies. They don't like the direction the country is going. Because we've been around, One Nation now has been around for about 28, 29 years, that's why people see the consistency. That's why we got three members, senators elected at the last election. We're increased in our vote, even at the last election. We've increased our vote from 6.4% now to 18%, although it's only a poll that's been taken, but it's a clear indication. We have that indication by the membership has grown. You know, we were signing up a member there last weekend every 29 seconds. They were signing up a member to the party. I go out amongst the public or I go to meetings, that type of thing. I'm just, you know, the number of people that come up to me and wish us all the best, and people that say now, I voted Liberal or I voted Labor all my life. No more. I've had enough of them. I'm actually going to vote for One Nation, come across One Nation. And a lot of these people also are migrants, have come to this country, see the mess that we're headed in. They said, we came here for a new way of life. We can see Australia heading down the same path. It's what happened to our country. We don't want it to happen here.
But on things like net zero, for example, the government, the Labor government, ran on a policy of sticking with net zero. They were returned with a big margin, weren't they? So there's a big significant portion of the population that's with that stance.
No, Sally, you're wrong there, because you see, although they won the number of seats, but because of our voting system and the preference system, that's why they won the number of seats. But you don't have a mandate.
But that's the system we have. That's how we measure it.
You don't have a mandate on 35% of the vote, when it's clearly 65% of the public didn't vote for them. It's a system that we have, but it doesn't give them a clear mandate and to actually go out and do what they do. This net zero, the policies that they have, is going to cost us $8 trillion. Where's the money going to come from, Sally? Unless we turn it around.
Where do you get the figure of $8 trillion from?
It's been complete. A lot of reports have been written. If you don't understand that, you have not been kept up to date with what this is going to be going to cost the country to roll this out. So it is clearly out there, $8 trillion to roll out this transmission lines, net zero. Even the policies, the climate change policy that they have at the moment, or the agency, is costing us $30 billion a year. You've got transmission lines going across the farming sector. They're up in arms over this. They don't want it. You put in wind turbines, solar panels on agricultural land. They don't want it. It's destroying this country. It will not deliver the power that we need.
This $8 or $9 trillion dollar figure, the actual number has been much less. The organisation that that put out those figures, that's been quoted with those figures, says that it's been misrepresented. That the figure is much, much lower. So where's the eight come from?
Sally, I have read this on a few occasions. I've put it in my own press releases, and I have not been pulled up with this at all in the past. I haven't got that organisation at hand at the moment.
That's Net Zero Australia. It said $9 trillion is misquoting the report. Different individuals and groups have been misrepresenting key cost estimates from the project. This is Net Zero Australia. The cost of reaching net zero by 2050 is closer to $300 billion, not $9 trillion or $8
trillion. Sally, I totally disagree with you, because the 10,000 kilometres or 20,000 kilometres of transmission lines that they want to put in, so it's constantly, if you think it's going to cost only $300 billion, you're misleading the public as well. So this is over a period of time that it's going to cost that sort of money. Electricity prices being up, who's going to pay for all this? If we've lost 1,400 manufacturing industries in 2023 because they've shut down, become insolvent. We've got industries leaving the country due to power prices.
But renewables are the cheapest technology for energy production right now.
I totally disagree with you. We've had renewables in for quite a few years now. The prices have gone up 40% to the consumer out there. As I said, more than 30,000 small businesses have gone under because they can't afford the cost of electricity. 1,400 industries, manufacturing, more are going overseas to get the cheaper power. So the proof is in the pudding, and it shows that they cannot afford it. You've got households, pensioners, people scream because they can't pay their electricity bills. That's fact.
Let's move on to immigration. This week, polling published in the Australian Financial Review shows your party is more trusted than Labor or the Coalition to deal with the arrival of migrants. What are the principles of your policy? What would you do?
The principles are that we need to cut it right back to around about 130,000 a year. I'm not saying no migrants. We need to actually allow for migrants to come into the country. Excuse me. We have about up to 200,000 people that leave the country, so you can replace those. We have skills and services that we definitely need in Australia. By all means, bring in those migrants. But until we iron it out, in September 25 this year, we had the highest intake of nearly 36,000 migrants in 1 month, the highest since September 23 on record. Sally, on record. Now, when I have people that are ringing up my office complaining they can't get housing, they can't afford housing, they can't get rent, you do not keep flooding the country with migrants into the country. And don't tell me that they are skilled migrants. In 22-23, we have 740,000 came into the country. Of that, only 51,605 actually were skilled migrants, and of that, only 1,800 in the construction industry.
The measure that's most commonly used is net overseas migration. By the end of 2024, net migration had fallen to 340,000. 750, and it's projected to fall to 255,000 this year. So the number of migrants currently in Australia as a proportion of the population, is that's broadly where it was before the pandemic, wasn't it?
We were bringing in under the coalition government before the Morrison, under the Morrison government, was around about 260,000 a year. They dropped it to 190,000 because at that time there was even too many migrants coming in. And the fact is that this government ramped it right up and they've had it up high. As I said to you, we've just had the highest intake of any month on record, which was September of this year. Nearly 36,000
But the overall figures for the year are projected to fall this year, aren't they?
Sally, the fact is that we have people who cannot get accommodation, can't get housing. We've got the homeless. I don't care about these people coming in from overseas wanting a new life in Australia. I care about the people that are here in Australia who can't get a house. We've seen the increase of the cost of housing. How can future generations or even these people now afford a house? They cannot get into the housing market. That's my responsibility, is to the people here, not worry about migrants coming into the country because the government wants to prop up their GDP.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the leader of One Nation, Pauline Hanson. Have you had any further conversations with backbencher and former Nationals leader Barnaby Joyce on whether he'll make the move to One Nation, or conversations with anyone else from the coalition along those lines?
No, actually, I haven't. I was over in America for the last couple of weeks. I've got my trial on at the moment. I will be heading to Canberra next week, so I hope to catch up with Barnaby next week, and I intend to cook him dinner and have a good chat with him.
What's going to be on the agenda?
Well, I'm going to have a good talk with him about whether his prospects will be better with One Nation, because with the National Party, I'm about 4 or 5% at the moment. I think 18% looks a lot more healthy to him. So anyway, we can forge ahead because we're on the same page as Net Zero, and working together we can do a lot for the country.
So if you're cooking him dinner, it sounds like you want him on board.
Of course I want him on board. I won't deny that. And I've said that all along. Of course I want him on board. I think you have members of parliament or people with the, invested interests of this country at heart, like Barnaby has. Of course I want to work with those people. I think it's very important.
On the issue of neo-Nazis, do you agree with Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke's decision to cancel the visa of a South African man who attended a neo-Nazi rally outside the New South Wales Parliament?
I don't know a lot about that or his history of this. Like I said, I've been out of the country, I've been tied up with it. I've only sort of seen briefly to make a comment about it. No, we don't need neo-Nazis in the country, and I totally oppose them. And I supported the bill on the floor of Parliament with the government to actually oppose it. But if he's going to do that, I wish he'd actually oppose terrorists from terrorist organisations and those ones with the hate speech allowed in the country as well. If you're going to do it for one, do it right across the board.
Should neo-Nazis have space to stage public rallies in Australia, in your view?
Look, we have hate laws. If they come under the hate laws, well, then they shouldn't be allowed to do it, regardless of whether neo-Nazis or whether they're from different religions or different cultural backgrounds are spreading the hate on their streets. We don't want it here, either one. We don't want these people here. I think it's we don't need to stir up division in the country. And I'm concerned neo-Nazis are going after the Jewish community, which we've seen happen. I think it's disgraceful. People have a right to live in peace and feel safe in this country. But when you've got anyone spewing the hate on the streets, and I've seen that not only from neo-Nazis, I've seen it from some clerics on our streets, and I think it's disgusting, yet we don't seem to do anything about them.
Do you apply those same principles to your own speech when it comes to talking about Asians or Muslims or other communities?
Sarah, I think you better rephrase that, because I don't talk about any hate with regards to them. If I speak of anything to do with immigration, it's on factual basis, so I don't believe it's hate speech. So so I think you should rephrase that.
Well, I was asking if those principles apply to your speech, not describing yours as hate speech, yes or no.
Sally?
Comments.
Where have I actually referred to hate speech or of hate for any group of organisation.
No,
I'm always called is about is for equality for all Australians. If I question about immigration or where people come from this country, it's because I want to see a country that's not divided with different views or different cultures, different laws, and I will stand my ground there. I've seen this happen in other countries around the world, especially in England now, the division that's happening there, or what's happened in Canada or some of these other countries, or France at the moment. So I will have my say now before it's too late.
Just finally, earlier this month you spoke at US President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. What was the purpose of that visit?
Well, it was a conservative political convention, and that's why I was invited to actually speak at it. I spoke at the same one here in Brisbane only a matter of weeks prior to my going over there. So people of like-minded conservative values around the world, we have these conventions. There's another one next year in March in Dallas, Texas, and they're held, and there's another one that will be held in England next year as well. So it's people of conservative views that get together and voice their opinions.
Pauline Hanson, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you very much. Bye.